Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So that's it. You get the picture ready. You get the sound picture. Michael Savage, you know the number. I know the news is here. It's another day, another murder in San Francisco. The homicide rate is now over 100. The mayor is officiating at as many gay weddings as possible and lobbying as many creeps in black robes as he can behind the scenes. And the police chief is nowhere to be found, and it's just another day in San Francisco. So after I finished radio last night, I decided to buy myself some early Christmas presents, and I went to a mall. It was largely empty, and it was a mall in a suburban area, which will remain anonymous because they're more or less the same. A pleasant enough, horrible place filled with consumer goods that nobody really needs and nobody really wants, the kind of garbage you'll be buying for Christmas that people will return over the next following weeks. In other words, the economy of America is based upon garbage that nobody wants and nobody needs. So I decided to go shopping, I guess to buy myself some garbage that I didn't want and I didn't need. I just needed to spend some money. Given that the economy is so bad and the country's in such trouble and the criminals who are running the government are trying to get us to spend, I figured I'd do my part for the economy by spending. So I went to this mall, as I say, which you consider as an upscale mall, whatever that means. I don't know what an upscale mall is. There's not a piece of art that doesn't make you want to go to a psychiatrist. There's nothing redeeming about the place. The only redeeming quality was that it was largely empty after the show. And here's where the fun began, the music. It wasn't Bing. I guess I wanted to walk around and sort of get like that Bing Crosby feeling of White Christmas, get in the holiday mood. Instead, I heard this crack music. Horrendous, horrible, bad crack music. I felt as though I was in a lab experiment. I felt as though I'd been put into a mind-altering experiment. I felt as though the government was trying to drive me insane. I put my hands over my ears. People looked at me, the few people that were there, as though something was wrong with me. I didn't know who to turn to. I tried to say, turn the music off. I can't shop. I can't shop here. So I ducked into a Nordstrom's department store, figuring that since it's mainly aimed at older people with some money, the music would be a little better, and it wasn't. I proceeded, though, to shop. I bought myself, let's see, I have the booty right here. Bought myself a Burberry scarf, a black, it's like a check scarf. I don't like check, but I bought a cashmere scarf because I like scarves. I wear them for the winter. You know, being in the broadcasting business, the voice is everything. And anyone who knows about opera singers, broadcasters knows that there are certain methods to keeping your voice protected. One of them is wearing a scarf, even in the summer. I then bought myself a pair of gloves, which I really don't need in Northern California, except on a few days. I bought a gorgeous pair. See, let's say Burberry was from England. I bought a pair of Italian gloves, a brand I never heard of. Some fancy name. I'll tell you, the name was, I can hardly pronounce it, but the gay guy behind the counter, it was very nice, help me understand the name of it. Fashionable, Fashionable, probably made by Milty Schwartz in the garment district. But all right, then I bought myself a new black fedora, and I'll tell you why in a minute. This was a Bailey of Hollywood hat It's a black one. Normally, I don't wear a black hat because it looks like either you're in a 70s mafia movie or you're going to a funeral. In both cases, they don't apply to me, but I kind of looked okay, and I bought myself a black hat, which I may be ashamed to wear, except around the house. And so then as I'm leaving, I go back in the mall, and there was the crack music again. Now, play it again. I want to hear the crack music. Please, play the crack music again. And the Bing Crosby crack music combo. Get it? Yeah, right. That's what I wanted to hear. I thought I would walk around in the cool air, because it was cool. It was beautiful cold before the rain, you know. Instead, I heard this. So I had it. I went into the concierge's office at this. That's enough already. They got the picture. So there, lo and behold, next to a Starbucks, there was a concierge's office. And I went in. I poked my head and I said, "Are you the concierge?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Can you please tell them to stop playing that garbage crack music?" I said, "Not everybody in here is an 11-year-old inner-city child visiting from junior high school." I said, "People my age shop. We're the ones with the money." Well, she got appalled. I thought she was going to call the police that somebody made a comment that was somehow offensive. And, of course, some cruising old white male Obama voter heard what I said, and I thought he was offended. I saw him stare at me, so I stared him back, and, of course, he slunk away. And that's my shopping experience in the mall. There's nothing more to it than that. You may say, "Well, what's the point of the story?" There is no point. Why must every story have a point? Must every story have a beginning, a middle, and an end? If so, you're on the wrong station. Because if you understand storytelling, truly, stories do not necessarily have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's a child's story. You know, the rabbit and the wolf and the turtle and the dove and that is a moral to the story. Life isn't like that. Your life isn't going to end nicely. Your life isn't going to end with a conclusion that you want. You're just going to go along and you're going to die. Hopefully not in too much pain. And hopefully at a time you can choose. But more or less it won't happen that way. It's just a long thing. That's it. There's no point to this story. There shouldn't be a point. I'm giving you social observation of America today, the debasement of it. We have crooks at the top pulling off the largest theft in the history of the world. It exceeds anything ever done before. When countries have been invaded in the past and their treasury sacked and their gold stolen, it was on a smaller scale than what Bush and Paulson are doing to America, in my humble opinion. But nothing, zero, there's no discussion of it. There are no riots, there's nothing outside the White House, and the schmucks in the media, the bought out pets in the media. The schmucks on Fox News today are worse than CNN. CNN is more balanced than Fox. I don't know how to say this to you. I've never seen anything like it. I click on Fox News this morning, and I see one 30-second piece on the Russian Navy appearing in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela, our back door. And then they spend 4 minutes about a store in Hollywood that lets you use roller skates indoors with wearing masks. And I said, "Oh, my God. The Saudi money has bought out News Corporation, which is why the sock puppet Neil Cavuto is so useful. It's why that midday guy with eyeliner is so popular. It's unbelievable to me. And where's the leprechaun in all of this?" So that's it. Now, there's some stories on my website. I'll get to them. Look, in San Francisco, we got a homicide epidemic that is out of control, being swept under the table by the useless media. They're obsessed only with homosexual marriage. People are dying. The streets are filthy. Jobs are being lost. Businesses are leaving the city in droves. And the losing newspaper that's costing the Hearst family $1 million a day, allegedly, lets the schmucks who are left on the sinking ship of rats publish one story after another about gay marriage. Every day, gay marriage, like there's nothing else on earth. Here's another newspaper, another throwaway. We don't have a newspaper in the city. The Examiner. This was given away for free to a Chinese family when this one went under. Headline, "Robberies on the Rise." This is the conservative newspaper. City sees 7% jump entering shopping season. But at least something's up in the city. At least if the economy's not up, at least robberies are on the rise. That's good for somebody, for some group in the city. The mayor's day. Mayor Annie Tuesom Newsom will make an announcement regarding an EPA petition. Oh, very important. The governor's day. Arnold Schwarzenegger will be in Sacramento to help give out Thanksgiving meals. He ought to begin by giving himself one. Put on some muscle mass between the ears. Newsmakers today, Gavin Newsom. Today, the mayor will help boost nonprofit-led efforts to convince the federal government to regulate air emissions. You hear this? Well, he ought to begin with his mouth. Newsom is scheduled to join Alaska officials at Aquarium of the Bay to endorse a petition that urges the EPA to protect the Arctic and its ice. You hear this? By regulating greenhouse gases. I don't believe this. This schmuck, this moron, has a homicide epidemic out of control. He's obsessed with the Arctic ice. That schmuck, who else would take the job but a loser who's lost money at everything he's touched in his whole life? Okay, owned lock, stock, and barrel by the people on the hill there, the fools on the hill. The fools on the hill who inherited their money, never worked a day in their life. They own them like you own a poodle. What do you want to talk about? You want me to talk about, my website. Top story, Michael Savage re-signs with Talk Radio Network. And various program directors have made interesting comments. Here's one, Bruce Maduri, CEO of Genesis Communications, Inc. of Tampa's WWBA, said this. He said, Michael Savage is the most compelling talk host on radio today. He sets the tone and delivers it with the passion and intellect that no other national host can match. He not only reports the news and brings the listener a perspective where it is delivered first, Michael makes the news. Michael Savage is addictive and is talk radio. Now, that I like. I mean, there are other good quotes, but that's an original quote. It's amazing to me that the talk show business has people who know what's really going on. And there are other people quoted. Don't get me wrong. I'll read them as time goes on. Here's one from Los Angeles. I'm reading off, you know, KGIL and its quest to become the leading talk radio station in Southern California is delighted to have Michael Savage in our KGIL lineup, says Saul Levine, general manager and owner of Mount Wilson FM Broadcasting. WOR New York, Bob Bruno, is now a consultant to OR New York, says, Michael Savage is an original. You cannot ignore him. Michael is a fearless, gritty, tough, funny, street-smart talk master. That's why we are proud to have him on WOR. There are others. I'll read the others as time goes on. This is not ranking them in order of, you know, importance, believe me. I'm just reading them. And I'll read the others here as time goes on. And we'll talk about the news. There is news. Don't get me wrong. The auto industry is news. The government's corruption, the fact that there are riots in other countries where the government is corrupt, but not one peep in the United States of America, and that's primarily because of the government media complex, the people are useless. In another country at another time, there'd be a threat of a military coup, but that cannot happen after 16 years of Clinton Bush, and that's because Clinton expunged the military of anybody with any kind of derring do, and then Bush destroyed the entire conservative movement, and anybody in the military who had even an inkling of independence was thrown out or forced out. Now they have MBAs from Hollywood in charge of the Strategic Air Command. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's pretty clear that our agenda, that all Americans are, is our economy, but I still am committed to comprehensive immigration reform with the need to secure our borders and a guest worker program that works as well as providing.
They ought to deport John McCain. I think John McCain should be deported to Mexico, frankly. How about you? Here he is, the loser. The biggest loser in American politics is John McCain. I don't think he could be reelected in Arizona. And the first thing he comes back with, he's going to work to get illegal aliens citizenship, just what the country needs right now. The country's totally bankrupt. So we need now to bankrupt it even further. Schmuck. No wonder you got thrown out, you idiot, you. I guess you don't know anything about Barack Obama's citizenship question. I guess you don't know about that, and we're not going to talk about it yet. But Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court, agreed to discuss the citizenship question of Barack Hussein Obama on December 5, 2008. The application has been accepted. It's a big if for the nine justices vote to hear the case in full about Obama's citizenship. Oral argument may be scheduled. We don't know if he's a natural-born citizen, but there's enough smoke here for there to be fire. It has been discovered, by the way, and this is a fact, The state of Hawaii very wisely has a different border around birth certificates each year to try to reduce forgery. So each year they change the border on the birth certificates. It turns out that the border around Obama's birth certificate, the one that was submitted a while ago, is from another year. They think it's a forgery. This is a big story. Now look, if we had a legitimate journalistic profession, you'd think one out of the tens of thousands, how many there are, would at least cover the story instead of dismissing it, instead of obsessing on gay marriage. I mean, wouldn't this be a fundamentally interesting story to read? Let's follow the story. Over 90 million people signed the petition online wanting to see the birth certificate. That doesn't matter to the schmucks in the media. It's unbelievable to me. That's why I'm talking about them all. We are living in a banana republic without a government. We have government anarchy. A group of gangsters took over the country. Make believe the Sopranos took over America. Only instead of having an I, an O, or an E after their name, their names end in hard consonants. San Francisco, Danny, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Mark Savage, I agree with you. I live out here in Northern California, and the music they play here drives my ears nuts.
It's horrible. It's just horrible. It's horrible, and they aim it at the 11-year-old inner-city child who doesn't even do any shopping.
No, I was raised off of Benny Goodman, Bill Haley and his Comets, and all that stuff from my grandparents. I'm working in the mall, and it makes my ears feel like I used an X-Acto knife.
No, it makes your toes curl up in your shoes. You don't know what to do, like you're going to start screaming. Why are they playing this garbage? How many inner-city children shop in a mall?
I don't know what's worse. The liberals that come in eating that Italian ice cream gelato and talking with a mouthful of food.
Now, don't get me started. You see, you're another social observer. Not everybody's as asleep as people think. Thanks for the call. I'm in a sweat already. I have a caller who says my glove brand is good. Arthur from Washington. I can't wait to hear why it's good, but I'm going to take that call. I want to know what kind of glove I bought. To me, it's probably made in the garment center, probably in China, from the skin of shot political prisoners, would be my guess, or kidney skin from China.
Savage.
So rather than talk about politics immediately, I'll talk about Savage Shops in a Mall, which is what I was talking about. I mean, I'll throw in an occasional political story. Here's one from the website that we linked up. Automakers forced to pay 85 to 95% of wages to union members who are not working. So it's like the Sopranos, no shows. It's like the guy sitting around in beach chairs getting sun, collecting pay for jobs that don't exist. What do you think, that this is not part of it? You're telling me that the automobile companies haven't been destroyed by the unions? What, are you kidding me? Well, read the data. $2,000 of every car goes to, where's the figure here? $2,000 of the cost of every car. $2,000 per vehicle of every car manufactured by the big three goes directly to pay employee benefits, something foreign automakers do not have as part of their overhead. So if these companies are bailed out, are you listening to this? Even if the plants are closed, United Auto Workers people who are not working are able to make up to 85 to 95% of union wages if they're not working. Millions of dollars to workers who are not working. So don't tell me about a bailout, that it's all bad management. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot to be done here. But just bailing them out, first you got to clean it out, then you can bail them out. So you can mark that one down. Okay, set that one in stone. Clean them out, then bail them out. 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 You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm talking about gloves and a hat and a scarf. That's all. Washington, D.C., WTNT. Arthur, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you mentioned buying a pair of gloves with the brand name Facon, I believe. And it is a very...
It's Facconnable. Facinable.
Yeah, with the little hook thing under the C there, right? And
what is it?
It is. It's a corny-sounding name, like something you would get out of the garment district. But actually, My father, may he rest, used to go with my mother every year to Paris once a year for a trip, and he would go there and buy all clothes from that brand, shirts and coats and jackets and pants and anything.
Oh, it's a known brand? I didn't know. It's got a nice glove with a zipper on the back. I figured the few cold days I'll need it while driving, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's nice stuff. I mean, when he passed away, you know, all of it got passed to me, and I've got...
Oh, no, don't start in with dead man's pants. Don't bring it back. I'm not looking for a pair of used pants, if that's what you're getting at.
No, I just want to let you know, it's good stuff. Don't worry about it. Then, you know, no one...
No, I decided to upgrade myself. I'm at a certain age where I'm a distinguished-looking man. I may as well wear nice gloves and a hat and a scarf.
Yeah, well, check out their other stuff, too. They have a lot of nice winter coats.
Well, you got something for sale that you're trying to
sell me, or... The government. I couldn't possibly.
I'm joking. I'm kidding. Come on. But I never heard of the brand. I mean, I heard of Burberry scarf. Burberry, I knew was a good name. Probably also owned by Izzy Schwarzman somewhere in London. Doesn't matter. He makes a nice scarf. Probably owned by Sheikh Salal Malal Malal today.
Well,
I guarantee you, Burberry is probably owned by Alibaba and the 40 Thieves if you actually look into it. So you work for the government now, Arthur?
Oh, yeah.
And does anyone there wear Burberry scarves and Fashionable gloves?
Not that I've noticed. I might be the only one.
Are they your father's? Are you getting that you took some of your dad's clothes after he passed on?
Yeah, my mother said, you know, go ahead, go look through the closet, take what fits you. So I got all these really nice jackets and gloves and winter scarves.
How does it feel? Well, now that you brought it up, how does it feel to wear... How shall I put it? Your deceased father's clothing.
Well, you know what I like the best is he had some really nice shoes, and I like the symbolism of walking in my father's.
Oh, shoes. You're walking in your father's shoes.
Yeah.
You have the same foot.
Well, he used to have lifts and all sorts of things. He stuck in his shoe, and if you take all them out, it fits me perfectly.
So, in other words, you're an inch or two taller.
Yeah, he can.
Because normally the son's foot is even if it's progressively the same size, it's about a size bigger, a size or two bigger.
Yeah, that's about right, a half to a full size. Baby.
So you took out his lifts, what he wore? He wore lifts because he was on a short side?
I don't know. No, not lifts, like arches, you know, to put in the shoe, help your feet feel.
No, and I don't want to go into it. It's sad. But it's not like a weird thing to walk around in your father's actual shoes?
I kind of like it. And, you know, there's some damn nice shoes, so... You know,
This is an amazing story, Arthur, because now I have to send you psychological nudity, because of all the people who's listening to this show, you're going to love Dead Man's Pants. I mean, this is a story made for you. I mean, I was complaining that I had to wear pants from a strange dead man that they were giving me because we were poor. You actually chose to wear a dead man's shoes and clothing.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew
it. But you have a good sense of humor about it. That's the main thing. Stay on the line, Arthur. Free book goes out to you. That's a great story. You never know what you're going to get here. See, I knew if I did a lifestyle show today, because everyone's traveling already. They're already on the road, the turkey already, half of them are gone in the market. I got a yen over the weekend for a turkey. I figured I'd beat the crowd and make one. I couldn't even get what I was looking for already. I went to Safeway, I asked for the smallest, you know, like Willy Bird, natural. What does natural mean? Natural. He only smoked marijuana. He didn't use crack. They were gone. I bought a lamb. I felt bad for the animal, but I figured it was dead already anyway. I ate it. I didn't like it. It took me two hours to cook it. Oh, was it good? My God. I never eat such heavy food. You know how the dogs, let me explain it. I don't cook that kind of food heavily in the house a lot, although I like the smell of cooking. Around the holiday. So I throw the roast in about five, figuring I'd eat at seven. And it starts to smell good. I mean, you're roasting a leg of lamb in the house. The house smells good, like a home. Well, the dogs already are hanging around the oven. They're salivating. So after, you know, I cooked it and ate it, I gave the dog, Teddy, a piece of this lamb. He looked at me like, what in the heck was that? That's food, man. What's that dried stuff you've been giving me for 4 years? God, that was good. It reminds me of a story a guy told me, a doctor friend. His dog was a male, or is a male. And for 3.5 years, the male had never mated. Then he took him out and had him mated. Afterwards, he said his dog looked at him and said, oh, my God, Dad, why did you keep this from me? What in the world was that? You know what I'm saying? It was like that kind of thing with the lamb. So I've yet to mate Teddy, though. I'm looking forward to finding the proper girl, but I'm very careful. She's got to be from the right family. She's got to have good parents. It's all about genes. I want to clone the dog naturally, you know, through mating. I mean, I do live in San Francisco, I understand, but I'm still going to, we're not going to adopt another one. We're going to actually make one. Florida ban on gay adoptions ruled unconstitutional. A so-called judge in Miami-Dade named, here it goes, you ready for the judge's name? Cindy Lenneman said that gay adoption is a ban on gay adoption is unconstitutional, allowing a North Miami man to adopt two foster kids. What are they, goats? He has raised since 2004. Judge Cindy Lenneman permitted the 47-year-old Frank Gill to adopt the 4 and 8-year-old boys he and his partner, what's he, Gabby Hayes, my partner, have raised since just before Christmas, 4 years ago. A child abuse investigator asked Gill to care for the boys temporarily. You know, I have mixed feelings about this, in that if gay men are living together and they're really in a bonded relationship with the domestic partnership rights, and they're really not, you know, running around, and they're into stability, and they have a family, and they really want children, and the kids have no home to go to, I don't really have much against this. I can't tell you that I'm totally opposed to this, because this is about the children. And if these guys are stable, I would have to say, you know, if these guys have raised them for a number of 4 years, and they've not hurt them, and the kids are doing well, you know, you know, what's wrong with that? Let me hear the judge, Cindy Lenneman.
I find that the law prohibiting gay adoption violates the children's right to equal protection. It treats foster children in the custody of homosexual foster parents.
Now I'm against her ruling. I don't like her mouth. I know she's from Brooklyn, and she hoodwinked the Floridians who put her in office. She smeared lawyers and judges to get a job. She sounds like a Yenta and Gertz who sells brassieres. Now I'm... just changed my mind. Anything she says is wrong. A Yenta. This is a Yenta who would come out in favor of terrorists and say they have rights. I can already see. Don't worry. My parents suffered plenty in America. My grandparents suffered plenty of prejudice and abuse. No, I can't stand the guy I'm in America. It's a guy country. I can't stand it. Whatever the country wants, I don't want. There's no good. The terrorists are picked on. Never mind 82 counts against the Holy Land Foundation. They're all innocent Arabs being picked on by the Goyim. I know how these mentality. I know the mentality. I know the mind. I know the mind. I know the mind. I know the mind. No one cares what you think already. 47 million Americans all can't be wrong. You know what I mean? 1-800-449-8255. Mall music, wearing your dead father's clothing. Play White Christmas for a minute. Play it again. You can't find it? That's all. It's a thing in America. I know it's old. It's 50, 60 years out of the times. It's not like from a gay nightclub music, you know, fugue music. You know, when I go shopping, I want to think of Bing Crosby. I don't want to think I'm in a gay nightclub. With music that makes you want to smash your head into a shop window. Or like you're an 11-year-old inner-city child on drugs. What do they buy? Nothing. Why are they playing junk music like this in malls? Horrible. My favorite sight was people in turbans skating today in San Francisco. They opened up a rink here. It's like a mini, like in New York, they have an ice skating rink at Rockefeller Center, which is very beautiful. So San Francisco being a city that copies everything else, thinking that it creates things, when in fact, everything here is a copy of somewhere else. So they have a mini fake rink they put in. But it's fun to go to a Justin Herman Plaza. The funniest part was seeing people in turbans ice skating. But I thought, why not? I mean, what the heck? It's a multicultural city. Why not women in turbans ice skating? Why not people wearing burkas ice skating next? Or why not make the city make the rink accommodate blind people who skate? Somehow make it, I don't know, racist, fascist, homophobic, to not permit blind people to skate. Make it ADA appropriate, the ice skating rink. Somehow set something up that doesn't exist with, like, prop wires from heaven that hold up blind people so they can ice skate in San Francisco. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So here we are in San Francisco. We broke 100. You can't say everything's down. The homicide rate is up. And they broke 100 this year, but the mayor is interested in the melting Arctic ice and gay marriage. Thieves have a hold on the city, says the newspaper. But they justify it. Economic problems may be factor for robbery increase. Police prepare for holidays by rushing out to nearest pizzeria and Chinese restaurant and hiding in the back. From neighborhood muggings to iPods snatched from the ears of pedestrians, police say robberies and other thefts have spiked in the city. I'm talking about San Francisco. Unlike homicides, which tend to be clustered in neighborhoods plagued by gangs or drug sales, which, of course, the police won't go in, the robberies are occurring throughout San Francisco. Well, that's good, because therefore we have diversity at work. Since the police are not allowed to stop anybody who doesn't belong in the neighborhood, and you know what I'm talking about, I'm sure, now you have diversity. And with diversity comes a democracy of thievery. And that's a good thing. Because that way, the libs, as they get mugged, become increasingly realistic. The more liberals that are mugged, the better in San Francisco. In fact, I hope more liberals are mugged than less. Because then eventually you might have a sane government after enough liberals are mugged. The economic downturn may be contributing to the increase, say the police. Well, I guess that's a justification, according to San Francisco Police Chief Heather Fong. She's still shopping for a hat that fits her head. She hasn't been able to find her pistol permit either, apparently, because she hasn't qualified in over 2 years. Guns to blame in killings, police chief says. What? Guns to blame in killings? How about your lack of leadership as a police chief? How about the demoralization of the police force, Heather? Could that be a reason for the increase in killings? How about your district attorney won't prosecute murders with the death penalty, Heather? Could that be possible? Mission District. Yeah, all right, fine. Three strikes are out in the Bonds case. That's good. It's a persecution. A federal judge on Monday dismissed three of the 15 charges against embattled former giant Barry Bonds, who accused of lying to a grand jury about his alleged steroid use. To me, this is racism against Bonds and a persecution. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know who in the world is after him. I don't know the guy. You know, I he's a nasty guy, but who cares? It's a persecution case. The judge did the right thing. In a written ruling, U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston, that was the judge who threw out CARES case against me for the fee claim. Good for her. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston dismissed three of Bond's perjury charges and agreed to consolidate another two. Well, I hope he beats all these counts. Because they try to entrap him. Lying to a grand jury? That's the whole crime? It's unbelievable to me. Why are they persecuting this guy? All about a lie to a federal prosecutor? Federal prosecutors lie continuously. Federal prosecutors lie by nature. What do you mean? So they get someone who lies back and they put them in jail? Yeah, that's the government for you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Malls, automakers, the state of affairs. Kansas, Kathy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I have to beg you, please, sir, if you're going to convulse me this way every single night, you'll have to give me a break on Thanksgiving Eve, otherwise there's going to be no food tomorrow.
Well, wait a minute. Which story is it, the one that tickled your funny bone?
Oh, the judge who sounds like a yenta, Dr. Savage.
Oh, when I went into that voice?
Oh, to follow it up then with the blind who have to be held up in the ice skates.
Oh, yeah, that's San Francisco. The blind will sue the city that they should be made, that the ice skating rink should be made safe for the blind to ice skate. So they have to erect guy wires connected to God's fingers themselves. That's coming next in this insane city. They'll get some lawyer from New York who just moved out here who has a pretty thin docket of claims against people. Come up with that one.
Of course. We had a judge back east who used to say, I'm a lawyer, and whenever we would, either side would object for hearsay, the dear judge would say, if he knows. That was all. That was the end of it right there.
But you, in other words, the mock voice that I use struck a chord with you because you know that that's sort of a stereotype that fits.
Totally fits, especially with yeah. Plan confronted Cindy later, whatever her name is, down in...
Yeah, you know that she came from Brooklyn. You know she went to night school somewhere, night law school. And she became one of those horrible judges. The night school judges are the worst. They basically buy judgeships in that region of Florida. But, well, what's the cost? $25,000? They buy a judgeship. What does it mean? You know, a judge in Florida. A judge in Dade County is like a judge in San Francisco Municipal Court. It has about the same meaning. I think they sell them like they do driver's licenses in the DMV. Okay, that's a thank God I haven't been in court here recently. It's actually a defense, though, when you think about it, because since I can't get a fair trial, since I bashed them for so long, I'd have to have the case removed to, like, a county in Northern California, you know, where people actually do something for a living. Like, where there's lumberjacks, which there are none anymore here, because all the trees are sacred. In fact, even the trees that fall down and catch fire are sacred in the state. Oh, all I wanted was a little good Bing Crosby. Remember the Godfather scene where Michael's shopping on Fifth Avenue out of Best & Company? With Kate in that first Godfather 1. He's walking like it's like a little slush and snow, buying presents. It's Bing Crosby music. Now it's crack music in the mall. I couldn't. I tried to get out of there. I tried to rush out of there. It was horrible. You don't know what to do. You feel like... You know Hieronymus Bosch's painting of the fall from of Eden? Where Adam and Eve are like hiding and wanting to run out of there, covering themselves. I felt like Adam and Eve, or just let's say Adam, let's say. Because there was no Eve. I was there alone. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to shop for myself. I wanted to buy myself presents for the holidays. Is there something wrong with me that I wanted to buy myself gifts now before the rush? I know they're going to go on sale in 3 days. I know that. Like these gloves with that fancy Italian name is probably made by Moshe Rabinowitz in Brooklyn somewhere based upon kidney skin from China that he got through graft that was paid for by the guy who owns shopping carts, his wife, whose wife is a senator who buys the kidney skin from the dead prisoners and turns it into calf skin with a special process that they got from Saudi Arabia and China combined to make the kidney skin from dead prisoners look like calf skin. You know, all I wanted was a pair of gloves, a hat, and a gabardine.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Naughty lady of Shady Lane has hit the town like a bomb. The back fence gossip ain't been this good since Mabel ran off with Tom.
It is the Savage Nation. I have no idea why I called for this song. I haven't any idea. It's just, I guess I'm wacky from the holiday season. I can't wait till it's over already. I'm looking forward to January. It's like one long... Oh, well, here we are. So I went shopping in the mall last night. I had to put up with the crack music. I complained to the so-called concierge, saying to her, why are you playing crack music? How many inner-city children, 11-year-old inner-city children, shop here at night? Why are you playing music for them, idiot? And to show you how sick the country is, you have to start with the newspapers, the dying newspapers, the albatrosses of the media. Here's an article. Listen to this headline. San Mateo home invasion ends in death for resident and suspect. Now, this passes for journalism. The real headline is, San Mateo tax squad risks life to save woman and children. But instead, these idiots who go to journalism school, these pot-headed morons, Tish Hendricks and Matthew Stannard, Chronicle staff writers, what in the world is this story about? It says, San Mateo home invasion ends in death for resident and suspect. That's not the story. The story is... The police send a SWAT team to a woman who's screaming from a bedroom that an intruder broke into her home. The police try to get the intruder out of the house. He starts to shoot at the police as the woman is passing the children out through the window. The police shoot and kill the man, the intruder. The man then kills the woman in the house. So instead of giving the SWAT officers credit, these sick morons who write for the newspaper, who are brainwashed from journalism schools to care only about gay marriage and Obama, attack the police for saving the children. You hear this? That's the world I live in. The suspect was found dead, though investigators do not know if he was shot by police. Now, here's the punchline. Neither his nor the woman's name has been released. That's the latest thing from this useless newspaper. They won't release names of anybody because you're liable to start putting two and two together that 90% of the crime is related to illegal aliens, or 90% of the crime and murders are related to gangbangers. So the cop haters work for the newspaper. The cops risk their life for this human refuse, and they get blamed for saving the children's lives by these worthless fools who are obsessed with Proposition 8. Then the movie comes out with this idiot's name in it? Sean Penn. Guaranteed to win a Nobel Prize in addition to a Pulitzer Prize in addition to an Academy Award for portraying a gay mayor. That's really important. A real civil rights activist. Real civil rights, really important mayor. Mayor Harvey Milk. Boy, that Sean Penn should do better than this in select theaters. Yeah, select. I guarantee it's select theaters. Guess it'll do very well where Obama got elected. We are shocked and by this brazen and violent act, said Deputy Police Chief Mike Callagy. A man had told him his wife had sent him a text message that there was a gun-wielding intruder in the home and she was being robbed. Woman barricades herself in the bedroom. Cops go there. The suspect, unnamed, opens fire as she's handling children out the window. SWAT officers risk their lives to get the kids out safely. And these vermin in the newspaper business attack the police. San Mateo home invasion ends in death for resident and suspect. You people in the newspaper business, I hate your guts. How do you hire brainless morons like this to write for you? How do you do this? That's why we have this nitwit for president. This nitwit probably isn't even an American citizen for the presidency now. San Diego Rose, you're on the Savage Nation.
It's a privilege to speak with you, and I just want to thank you for connecting the dots.
Which dots?
The dots of politics, the dots of health, the dots of Leviticus and Genesis, just distilling from...
Yeah, good luck, Leviticus. Ask Nancy Pelosi if she knows who Leviticus is. Ask her if she ever read it.
Yeah, we, your listeners, will save you from the Nancy Pelosi's and the...
No, you won't. No, the truth is you mean well, but no one can save anybody. It's each man for himself. I found out over this last year when I was attacked mercilessly by three groups who were unleashed on me by George Soros, who funded this anti-talk radio group, particularly anti-Michael Savage group, called Media Matters. I have no friends anywhere. I have people who love me on the radio. Nobody will save me. I found out there's no saving anybody. You better save yourself. You better be your own backup. That's all. You better be your own backup is all I can say. Bicyclist who was struck and killed Monday evening by a hit-and-run driver on a rural road in northern Contra Costa County was a longtime electrician for the newspaper. He'd taken up riding to spend more time with his sons. Mike Pendleton, 49, and Martinez was struck 5 p.m. riding south of McEwen River. They don't say who did it, though. They have no idea. The car, nothing. Nothing. No idea. It wasn't a drunk illegal alien. Right away, look for a car. That's where you start with. So it's a sport for most of them after work. I mean, feel bad for this guy. I ride a bike. Was returning home on the two-lane road from a training ride. Darkness had already fallen, and Pendleton was not using lights or reflect. You hear this? Why would he not? He's an electrician, and he doesn't use lights or reflectors on a dark road? From debris found at the scene, officers said the car that hit Pendleton may have been dark in color. You hear, they're not even up to that yet. They haven't run it through the lab. You hear? The officers from the CHP said that the car may have been dark in color. Well, let's start looking around for any car that may be dark in color. That's a good lead. There you go. Anyone with information, call the CHP. If you see a car that may be dark in color, call the CHP. That's all. Whoa, what happened to the police in this country? You know, you look at New York detectives from my day. They were all blue collar. Every last one of them came from families like mine who understood reality. And you couldn't BS them for 1 second, the detectives in New York. They understood reality and nobody could lie to them. They could look right through like with an X-ray machine. And that's why I'm beloved in the media, incidentally. If you have no idea why I'm loved, I'm like a New York homicide detective of the 1950s or 60s, maybe even to the 70s. That's why the people like me. I speak bluntly, but I speak straight to the point. And you sense that I know what I'm talking about. Never mind the morons on drugs who write for the newspapers who like to sneer at me. Forget them. They're meaningless. They'll all be out of work within a year or two. And I'm still here, incidentally. Every one of my enemies in the media is gone. Do you know that? Everybody who tried to stand in my way over these 15 years, everyone who's tried to stand in my way is gone from the radio business. Did you hear what I just said to you? I'm telling you there's something that you have to understand. It's not up to you to defend me or help me. It's up to me to be wary enough to defend myself. That's all I can tell you. It's up to me to defend myself. You get that? You can't help me. Lucky if you can help yourself better. How could a guy be an electrician? A craftsman who works for a newspaper on electrical devices? How could he ride a bicycle on a dark road? I'm sorry he got killed. He was not using lights or reflectors at the time of the accident? It's horrible. But be on the lookout now. If you see a car that might be dark, see a car that may be dark in color, call the CHP, the California Highway Patrol. They'll run it through the laboratory. Anyone who has any information on a car that may be dark in color, okay, that's what you should look for. They never name names. They never name the perps, nothing. No picture of the perp. No names, no pictures. That's a little useless. That's where the hearse are losing $1 million a day. Who would read this garbage? I read it because I point fun at it. It's like Voltaire, pointed at the foibles of Parisians for that reason. Thank God they were Parisians. There would be no Voltaire. Thank God they're San Franciscans and California. I wouldn't be in business. Judge Springs alleged poisoner. Researcher accused of trying to poison a coworker is freed over lab test delay. Oh, and here's another one. Millions for Wachovia execs while you slept. The gangsters in Washington are giving millions of dollars in bonuses to the gangsters at Wachovia Bank. You schmuck, you. You should lose it all. You should wind up wearing a barrel around your body for having elected Obama. Because you think you got a difference? You think you got change, you idiots? You useless morons, you. He was a doorman for the Clintons. You idiots, you. You thought you were going to get change? You got nothing. You got the Clintonistas back. But you people are so stupid that the idiots you believe in newspapers are saying, Obama chooses a team with experience. Oh, really? That's what you thought you were getting? You know you're lying to yourself. You know you were hoodwinked. You know Obama's nothing but a doorman for the Clintonistas. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, here's another crackpot. Here's a lead story on the Drudge Report. Russian analyst predicts decline and breakup of USA. Now, I've hinted at this over the last few years. I said if Russia could break up, so could the U.S., right? But I let it go at that. This Shmendrick, this Russian analyst, is so out of touch. That, I'm going to read the story to you. This idiot. Who is this jerk? Panarin, age 60, is a professor at the Diplomatic Academy of the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, he's so out of touch with reality that he says America could break up because of unemployment and financial problems, blah, blah, blah. Then he gets crazy. He predicts that the U.S. will break up into six parts. Now listen to this insanity. The Pacific Coast with its growing Chinese population. Duh. I don't think this guy's ever been to America. What textbook is he reading? The Pacific Coast, he means that with its growing Mexican populations, he got that off by a few thousand, like 9,000 miles. The South with its Hispanics, Texas, where independence movements are on the rise. What independence movements are on the rise in Texas? The Mormons? The break-off sect of the Mormons with 93 children and 14,000 wives? And one old geezer in underwear? What independence movements in Texas? The Atlantic is going to break off with its distinct and separate mentality? What Atlantic mentality? There is no mentality on the Atlantic coast. Now, wait, it gets even crazier. The Russian says that the country's going to break up. Another piece, is part five, is going to be the poorer central states with their large Native American populations. What? Where are their large Native American populations in the poorer central states? They're all on the West Coast with casinos and on Long Island. And the northern states, where the influence from Canada is strong. There is no influence from Canada in the northern states. You know, this is such a dumb story that it would take a Russia to say, this is absurd. This is absurd. The guy doesn't know what he's talking about, six parts. The country could break apart, but it's not going to break up into six parts based on Chinese, American, Indians, Mexicans, and... what's this now? Chavez welcomes Russian warships. Great. You do a good job, Obama. Great job. They smell weakness already, moving their rusty old ships in. Their navy's in such bad shape, the Russians, that I understand they brought a couple of tugboats with them so they could tow one home. You hear? I mean, they're still, you know, they're dangerous, and they have nuclear weapons on them. But their ships are in such bad repair, they have tugboats with them. Although with the person in charge of our Navy, I think even a tugboat is a danger to the U.S. 6th Fleet. At least a tugboat could ram it. While the schmuck who runs the U.S. Navy might even know how to respond to a tugboat coming at an aircraft carrier. He's on to consult somebody in Tallahassee in a bunker who's out on a golf mission. Chicago, Brad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Savage? I'm a transplanted New Yorker. I'm from Whitestone, Queens. I'm in Chicago for the last few years. I just heard you tonight. Just really enjoying your show. That's why I called. I knew you were a New Yorker. I had a buddy at Hofstra University from
Gunn. All right, right. I sound like everybody you know. Okay, great.
No, I just thought...
Everybody you know has a PhD, has written 25 books, and has been on radio 15 years. Take a walk. I don't even want you to listen. How's that? I hate callers like that. People think because I have a New York accent, they know me. I love that. Oh, yeah, I'm from New York, too. Where are you from? Binghamton. No kidding. Really? Maybe we knew each other. Oh, wow. Oh, you're from Binghamton. That's exciting. God, what kind of caller is that? Who did that screening? I'm joking. Judge rules for releasing ex-Black Panther on bail. Oh, well, that's nothing. A judge has ruled that a former Black Panther should be released on bail while he waits a new trial on charges he killed a prison guard in April of 1972. That's fine. Why not? It's only a prison guard. He's got his priorities right. Woodfox, now 61, was originally imprisoned for armed robbery. He and another inmate were later convicted in the guard's death. That's great. That's terrific. The U.S. District Judge James Brady said that Louisiana must release Albert Woodfox on bail until it either drops charges against him or retries him. Well, that's nice. It's good to see that the judges are on the side of the police. That's a nice, solid feeling. Let me go to my own website and see what rubbish is up there today. All these stories before Thanksgiving. Did I give you my Thanksgiving recipe yet? I'm not going to because I'm not cooking this year. We're going to a restaurant again. Normally I cook. I did already the lamb Friday. It was enough. Barack Obama says Gates to stay at Pentagon. Great. I'm glad. Glad he's going to stay at the Pentagon. That's good. It's good for the government and military-industrial complex. At least the contractors won't go hungry for Christmas. You know, that's the important thing. Right? Very important that Gates stay at the Pentagon. Because that way we won't continue to fire a shot, even when fired upon. But the contractors will continue to make as many useless weapons as possible. And that is good for the economy when you think about it. That's unless the contractors are in China, which I don't know anymore where they're from. Play me a piece of music. Look, the show is flying by. I told you I'd thrive and everyone would fall by the wayside after the election. Neil Cavuto. If he gets a job within a year, Neil Cavuto will be working in a junior high school. The sock puppet of Murdoch there. He had an interview with, that guy is really an embarrassment. Mr. Nice Guy. That whole network's like a man in the middle. Can you get that CARE article off my website already? I've asked for 10 days to get it off. It's up twice. It's up on the top and the bottom. Oh, it's still up there. I don't care about it anymore. Mom says I flushed a newborn in a toilet by accident. Well, it's in Britain. That should expectantly flush a newborn down the toilet because she didn't realize she was giving birth. That summarizes the white race today in England. She couldn't distinguish between a bowel movement and giving birth. That's the average British woman today. Can you imagine the drunks there, the soccer thugs, and the white trash running around in England? No wonder the Muslims are taking it over. I don't blame them. The faster it becomes a Muslim appendage, the better off it'll be.
Savage.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, of all the stories on my website, michaelsavage.com, the one that most sickens me and at the same time most epitomizes the death of Western civilization, most particularly the white race, is this one. Says, UK mom says, I flushed a newborn in a toilet by accident. A woman has told a British court she accidentally flushed a newborn down the toilet because she didn't realize she was giving birth. So this idiot says she knew she was pregnant from an affair with a colleague, but she thought the pain she suffered was from diarrhea. You hear this? Jones told the coroner's court in Cardiff, Wales, on Monday that she only realized what had happened when she saw a foot in the toilet bowl. Oh, please. You talk about a debased civilization and a debased race. It doesn't get any lower than this. Drunk soccer thugs. Sluts. A military that can't fire a shot. You know, perverted leadership. God in heaven, maybe they need Sharia law over there. Maybe she'd know what the foot in the toilet bowl was. Instead of cutting her hand off, you know what they'd cut off, don't you? What would they do in Sharia law for a woman who does that to a fetus, flushes it down a toilet bowl and then says, I thought it was diarrhea. Ugh. She said she tried unsuccessfully to revive the baby and then put the body in the trunk of her car. The corpse was found in Jones' vehicle after she was arrested. Listen to this. She was given a suspended sentence for concealing the baby's birth, not for killing it. That's unbelievable to me. England is finished. Play There's No England Anymore. I mean, there is no England anymore. It hasn't been there for a long time. I went to England and I went home because it was gone. It's like an amusement park that was closed. What a country. Here in America, the white trash and Sunset Boulevard. Can you play it louder? They don't understand a quiet song.
All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
A moron. She thought diarrhea was a baby.
All the lies we were told. All the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
The end of England. It's finished. Got a crackpot for all those years. That left-wing crackpot, the third way. The third way was the egress. That schmuck. The Bill Clinton of England destroyed England. Took the Union Jack off the British Airways. All they have left is alcohol and beating people up. And all the girls do is like fornicate. They fornicate like mink. That's the great England. Yeah, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Where's the white Christmas? Tell me where it is. She doesn't know the difference between contraction pains and diarrhea. And she got away with this? Just for hiding the birth, not for killing the fetus. You hear this? That's what life is worth in England today. It's a far cry from Charles Dickens. You don't know the difference between one orifice and another? You don't know what diarrhea is and a baby coming out? This is a grown woman? This is unbelievable to me. Yellow journalism. Is this a tabloid story or a real story? Unfortunately, it's a real story. Why am I covering it? Because to me, it epitomizes Western civilization and the lack of respect for human life. That's why. So you want me to give you a Thanksgiving recipe now? And talk like with glowing, sonorous tones about, you know, Thanksgiving and America the way it was. What am I going to tell you that for? Well, what do you care about what America the way it was? What you're going to do is look at CNN and Fox and see what it is. Never mind what it was. Take a look at the empty suits there and the empty skirts. Working for Prince Alal Walal Malal Alibaba. What do you want to talk about here? Huh? UK mom, I flushed newborn in toilet by accident. I mean, the biggest story to me really is that the Russian Navy, the relics of the Russian Navy, are in Hugo Chavez's harbor there. Ugh, God, look what Bush did to America yet. You know, look at the country. He's not finished yet. Mind you, he has 2 big months. It's November 25th, December 9th, like 2 months yet. You think it's over? Oh, no, no, no. We've got plenty of time to go yet. First it was $700 billion, now it's $7 trillion. It's only a factor of 10. You gag when you heard $700 billion. They say $7 trillion, make it $700 trillion. What's the difference? What do you care? That's $25,000 for every man, woman, and child in America, even the illegals. You hear? That's the number. And the newspapers are only concerned about gay marriage and gay adoption. That's all that matters to them. What about the Navy, Russian Navy? Never mind, I want to get gay adoption. That's all. That's the most important thing in the world. It's gay this, gay that, gay this. Gay. What about the economy? Don't matter. Gay adoption. Gay marriage, gay this, gay that. What else? What's important? Nothing. Gay marriage, that's all. That's all I want to talk about. Gay marriage, I'm married. You think every gay wants to be married? I knew gay people. None of them wanted to be married. The people I knew who became gay, which were few in my circle, none of them wanted to be married. In fact, the reason they became gay is because they didn't want to get married. The last thing they wanted was to settle down with a woman and become like their father and mother. They just didn't want to be stifled in a situation like that, so they became gay. They figured they'd have sex for as long as they could. Then AIDS came along or whatever. But the point is, most of the guys I knew who became gay were basically doing it because they didn't want to get married. There's no desire to get married. They want to have a wild time as frequently and as often as possible. That was the whole reason they went to Fire Island. They didn't want to go to the Catskill Mountains to Monticello in a bungalow with a wife and a box full of pots, little bills, and whatever. They didn't want dental bills and tuition and the migraines with it. They just wanted to go out with guys on Fire Island and have sex and be left alone. They didn't want to wind up in an apartment in Forest Hills with a woman that they hated, you know, waiting until the inevitable, you know, cancer came along or whatever. That's the way it was. No one talked about marriage. Where'd this come from? Who's pushing this insanity? It's like a small band of the gay movement. Totally insane. Most gay people don't want to be married. You know that. It's the fanatics. So like every other movement, it's run by the maniacs. Almost half of Egyptian wives are beaten, according to Agence France-Presse. No kidding. Women is, according to law in Egypt, lower than a camel. They treat their camels better than a woman. It's considered a private matter, according to Egyptian women's rights activists. Of course it's a private matter. That's why Muslim nations are backwards. Is he beating their wives? How can they do science and have a wife to beat, or several of them? Domestic violence is the punishable under Egyptian law, but police are reluctant to intervene in something considered a private matter, said an Egyptian women's rights activist. Yeah, the only hope for the world is for women to stand up in the Muslim world and say enough is enough from the throwback husbands that they're stuck with. Maybe if all the women became gay in Egypt, maybe we'd be saved from... No, then they would be more sexually frustrated than they are now. That wouldn't work. Of stress, scratched that thought. I'm just thinking out loud. Is that illegal? That's illegal too? That's illegal too, to think out loud. Go listen to mall music if you don't like the show. Go enjoy yourself in a mall. Record number of tunnels on U.S.-Mexico border. Authorities, that's a joke unto itself, authorities in Arizona are finding record numbers of tunnels on the U.S.-Mexican border. You hear what they appointed the Homeland Security? The new chief of Homeland Security is Janet Napolitano. You hear? The governor of, what is it, Arizona? Real tough lady. Oh, yeah, that's a top choice. That's a top choice, Homeland Security. That's really going to scare the Islamists. Oh, yes, dangerous woman there. Janet Napolitano. Why would anyone want a job of Homeland Security? Contracts, billions of dollars, unmarked. You can give them to anybody you want. Money, patronage, Tammany Hall, nothing to do with Homeland, nothing to do with security, just a bloated bureaucracy. Hello, all aboard? Savage Nation, anyone listening? Janet Napolitano for Director of Homeland Security, not a seasoned combat veteran back from the front lines who risked his life for America? No. Instead, some wrecked woman governor of no value whatsoever. A woman has done everything she could to keep the border with Mexico open. She's in charge of Homeland Security under Obama. Next article. Why don't we hang pirates anymore? Wall Street Journal article. I talked about it before anybody. I'm glad they're writing the article. I know how we overcame barbarism in the past. We killed them. We killed them and we bombed their villages. That's how we overcame barbarism in the past. We don't have that anymore. Now we have MBAs running the military. Love by the Sewer Plant, where pasta with spaghetti, one-armed Frank Tippy dies and is thrown in a garbage truck, and seven of the others. Read them for years to come. Click here to see content. You know that Teddy, my dog, is probably the most famous dog in America right now. I don't know of a more famous dog. If there is a dog talent agent out there, I'd like you to contact me. Because I think Teddy should have a career in the movies. This dog is so... If I am walking with him anywhere like around the Bay Area except in San Francisco, because I wouldn't take him here. I don't want him to like lick the viruses from the streets here. Even the dog virus is a toxic here. No, I don't take him in. It's like, yo, is there a garbage can? I grab him immediately. The garbage, everything's so filthy here. The bums, ugh. They're dirty. God, it's a disgusting sight to see those homeless bums laying around. I don't know how people put up with it. It looks like Calcutta. They can't get them off the street and clean them up? Put them in a work camp so they do something for themselves and for someone else? The able-bodied ones, when they're not able-bodied? They're strong as ox, most of them. You go try to get into a fight with a homeless guy. You'll get your butt kicked. They're street hardened. They sleep in the gutter every night, Johnson. So I'm walking with Teddy, and people say, if they hear me like talk because they don't recognize my voice, they don't recognize me. They say, oh, what's that dog's name? And the minute I say Teddy, boom. Oh, you must be, yeah, all right, okay, please. It's my day off. All I'm doing is getting like something for my boat. Can you just get like the life ring again? Lately, I'm buying safety devices for my boats. 15 years, I drove boats with almost no safety devices. I started with a sailboat in Hawaii in 1968 without a motor. I almost got swept out to sea. I think I didn't have a life raft on that. I didn't think of it those days. You get older now, everything is safety. So everything is like insurance and safety. I bought a $6,000 raft that's like a little container that it's supposed to inflate. If your boat goes down, but how do you know if it's going to work until the boat goes down and then it's too late? That's what I don't like about it. Like you buy this thing and it's like compacted with everything in it. Knives, a Bible, water, a special food that inflates. I still don't know how the food inflates. I don't have any idea what's in there. I don't know how water inflates itself. But anyway, it's all in there in a container on the top of my boat with straps. So at the first sign of sinking, like if you hit a Russian submarine that's cruising around looking for trouble and you sink, you pull a red cord that releases the snap. Then you're supposed to throw the raft into the water. Okay, now A, you're supposed to pray to God that it lands bottom side in the water or else, I don't know, if it inflates upside down, you got real trouble on your hands. But they say it's always going to inflate right side up for some reason. All right, I'll take the word on it. So let's say it inflates with the canopy and the food in the water. What if it doesn't inflate? What, do I ask for my money back? At that point, they sold me a defective raft. See, this is so against my nature that I never bought one. But now I'm reaching a point in my life where I'm getting foolish. I'm buying security and safety devices. I don't even know if they work. Last night I was reading, like, the DuPont Registry. For what, I don't know the reason I picked it up for free. All these luxury cars and boats that nobody wants. That's somebody from Milton Kapatsiewicz from Patchogue, who made money robbing people at Lehman Brothers, has to get rid of his boats. He puts it in one owner, pristine, everything. You know, that kind of boat. Your boating business must be horrible right now. You know, go try to sell a used yacht. Yeah, there's a big line for that. Go sell a beachfront house in northern Florida, anywhere from like Fort Lauderdale to Palm Beach. See how many people are waiting online. They're still waiting for the Chinese buyer, or is it the Japanese, or is it the Saudi buyer, or who is it this year? The Russians. The Russians aren't coming. The Russians aren't coming. The house is sitting there for a year on end. It's going to look like Manaus in Brazil eventually. Housing in Florida? Like Manaus in Brazil after the rubber boom. I'll tell you that story one day. Great story. Michael Savage's knowledge is encyclopedic, but the problem is most of you don't even want to read an encyclopedia anymore. All you want is sound bites. You want crack music. You want hieroglyphics. That's what you used to. But where was I going when I got so distracted? Savage Dad not listening to radio? I got some nice callers. Sam the Butcher's not in there. You know, half the stories you're asking for in my book, Psychological Nudity, weren't in the book. I already have my next book in the works. It looks like it's happening already. I'm not writing anymore. I think that's it. I think this is going to be it for all the writing. I made a decision. I want an easy year in 2009. All other projects I'm putting aside. No more books. I think I'm canning the movie. I was going to do it, then I wasn't going to do it, and I met with filmmakers, and I went to Hollywood, and I wasn't going to do it. I want to do it. I don't want to do it. It's going to be a big hit because you got 8 to 10 million listeners. If each spent $10, it's $80 to $100 million gross. Then there's the other people, the average bystander who doesn't know who you are, but they're curious. They heard you're not a good guy, or they heard you're a good guy, and they never heard of you, but they like your name. So that's another $50 million, it's $160 million gross. So even the liberals of Hollywood will distribute the movie. That's what I've been told. But I don't want to do it. So all I want next year is one easy year. Am I entitled to 1 year easy? No book. No, nothing. I don't want anything outside talk radio. Just talk radio, 1 year, take a breather, do radio. That's it. What more do I need? Why do I need more? What do I need more? It's a rough, you know, life is hard enough as it is. I'm a very, my life is like a paced life. I go on late afternoon or early evening, depending on where you are in America. So I get up every morning at a certain time. I don't rush in the morning. I've always been a late afternoon guy. Do you know that? I remember when I got out of high school because my grades weren't great. They were like a little below a B because my father had gotten a heart attack. I had to leave college. My grades went into the toilet. Then I had like really miserable grades. Blah, blah, blah. So I went into a night school, it was called, actually afternoon session. I thrived. I got all A's. I didn't know I was that smart. The reason I got all A's, and it was a very tough curriculum at Queens College, but most of the people at that time were adults. There were no girls to look at. There were mainly like men. And since I'm not gay, I had to focus on the school books. I got all A's. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, a few weeks ago, Paulson and Bush said we needed $700 billion, and we gagged. We said we can't afford it. So they said, yes, you can. The minute you said, yes, you can, they raised it to $7 trillion. Then you said, that's impossible. That's $25,000 every man, woman, and child in America. They said, oh, it's that low? Let's make it $14 trillion. After all, the gangsters at Lehman Brothers and in the other companies, they need their houses in Florida, Zurich, Park Avenue. Do you know that nobody has given up so much as a Buick in any of these investigations? Why? Because the same guy is at the SEC who was put there by Bush to make sure that the foxes could eat the chickens. Why is Chris Cox still at the SEC? He let this happen. It happened on his watch. Why is he not fired? And why? 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 Because we have no government. It's government anarchy right now. This is government anarchy. Government means they govern for the sake of the people. Government anarchy means there is no government. That's what we have, in my opinion. You hear this? That's the way millions of Americans see it right now. But the reason you don't hear this on any of the networks is because the people are afraid to say it. But most of you are thinking that we have gangsters running America, incidentally, on both sides of the aisle. Most of you see it that way. I know what the people say and what they see. I'm a national treasure in that regard for speaking the truth. I see it the way it is and say it the way it is. It's not that I'm so brave. It's not that I'm so stupid. Somebody in the media has to be able to say it like it is. Somebody has to say it like it is. Or the country will go crazy altogether. Georgia, Dalton, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, I was going to ask you about your radio thing with your dad riding to the work. I hadn't heard that forever. But listen, I started thinking last night or the night before, you started talking about the way that Obama walked up to the stage. Listen,
yes.
It was a money walk. You're the only one that caught it. I've been telling my wife the same thing.
Oh, well, what kind of walk did you call it?
The money walk.
But I don't understand that he sashayed up to that podium like he was ready to do a nightclub act. What was that all about with the swiveling hips like Elvis Presley?
I've been seeing it.
I haven't seen anything like it since Elvis.
Well, we used to call it filing back in school, you know, in the South. We used to call it filing. I don't know why we called it that.
What is it? What is it, some kind of cool thing?
Yeah, it's what they all do, I guess. They're trying to hip up America, I reckon. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, what was he trying to do? He's the president-elect, man. He's not coming up there to do a nightclub act. Why doesn't he act like a president instead of like somebody coming up to perform? I watched Obama walk out, and I was stunned by what I had seen. To me, the king has no clothes. When I see a man walk out as supposed to be the leader of the free world, and instead he sashays out, and with his head up in the air with that arrogant look, I said, oh, my God, are we in trouble? We got a child for a president here. This man is simply a front man for the Clintons. That's all he is. That's what it looked like to me.
Well, listen, hey, also, I want to change the subject. I hadn't heard that. My dad did the same thing to me on the way.
Oh, turn the radio off. I'll send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity if you stay on the line. See, that's south, north, northeast, south, doesn't matter. Same father. No music. No music. We're going to work.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
America today.
Here we go.
Out with the old, in with the new, huh? Go, give me blow, give me blow. Yeah, all right. Well, you got the picture. That's where a schizophrenic nation. That's why they can get away with a bailout that isn't a bailout. It's thievery, outright robbery, the biggest theft in the history of the world. I'm not the only one saying it, obviously. Anyone with brains knows that it's the Citi deal, for example, raises questions about what the Treasury Secretary and the Fed are doing with the bailout package, which is, of course, bailing out their friends in the financial sector. But, of course, if there was a two-party system, this wouldn't be going on without a very steep and deep congressional investigation. But since we do not have a real two-party system, we have two-card Monty running the government with no P under each of the chest, each of the nuts on the table. That's why there's no questions from Obama nor from the Democrats about the bailout plan, because they were all schmeared on the way up. That's all. You ask yourself, did the Democrats have something to do with the economic troubles? Well, the line for government bailout money grows and grows and grows. New industries and companies coming up to Congress with tin cups, and no one's saying no. Why? Because they paid off the politicians on Capitol Hill before they got there. They greased the skids. You wonder why the people are freaked out, panicked. You know what I'm saying? Not a word against the bailout from anybody. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So many stories. I cannot get to all of them. That's why I send you to michaelsavage.com. You should read especially about Robert Rubin. Who's Robert Rubin? Well, he spent a lot of money on public relations agents when he worked for Bill Clinton. And he polished an image of being a fly fisherman. How come they're all fly fishermen, all these top guys in Wall Street? What's that supposed to, what's that all about? Which PR agent came up with the idea that Robert Rubin is a fly fisherman, then the guy who just take over the Fed is a fly fisherman? Who are these guys? Who are they, actually? And why are they giving so much money to their friends from Harvard and Yale? Answer, because they can get away with it. And by the way, why is Bush pardoning so many coke dealers? That's what's asked by a Grammy Award-winning rapper. He wants to know why Bush is pardoning so many coke dealers. I'll let him figure it out. 1-800-449-8255. Left out of the bailout, the poor. Why do so many pro-union liberals drive non-union-made cars? Why do they drive not Fords or GMs, but Toyota or Hondas? Huh? Answer, because they're hypocrites and liars. And that's the story. That's the story, the whole story here. The rise and fall of the Fourth America, not the Third Reich. Plan to shutter. Oh, I'm just thinking amongst myself. That's a joke, thinking amongst myself. So it's holiday time already. Most of you are not even thinking about anything anymore. You're on the road. You're going on the road. You are on the road. You think you're on the road. You deserve to be on the road. You're out of gas. You got gas. You think you have gas. You have nowhere to go. You're going to be alone with a turkey tray and a Swanson's TV dinner, watching reruns of CNN, not knowing what happened to your country while you were out to lunch. Or you're going to a dinner with family, which you don't want to see. Most of them you can't stand. You thank God there's only one Thanksgiving a year that you have to see them. And you have to put on a game face for the dinner, which you don't really want to do at this point. You don't even want to fake it. You'd like to just tell them what you think of them. But you know it's not polite, so you won't do it, and you'll go. You'll eat a rotten, stinking turkey. I'm not even having turkey. This year we're going to a restaurant, like a fancy restaurant, like 10, 12 people. No one really knows anybody there, but I know them all. It's like one of those kind of dinners. No one actually knows everybody there except me. But, I mean, some of them sort of know everyone there. Almost everyone knows everyone, but not quite. Only I know. And I'm going to order the fish. You know, on your traditional Thanksgiving, the pilgrims ate fish. The Indians gave them fish. Where they come with the turkey? Turkey, a mythology. Grade school, you got Crayolas and you drew the turkey. Oh, hi, Indian. The Indian and the pilgrims got along. Wonderful friends. Oh, yeah, great friends. Pocahontas. Everything's like Santa Claus in America. The whole thing's built on mythology that was never real. Oh, yeah, the red skin loved the white skin that much. They were kind, loving people. They had peace on earth until the white man came, sure. If you actually study the history of the Native American, as I did, my first book in 1972, published by Macmillan, is called Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, because I greatly respect the Native Americans' healing ways. But in my research, which was quite extensive, and it covered a lot of territory, a lot of libraries, it turns out the Native American was quite a brusque fellow with his other Native American friends. If they caught a Native American from another tribe in their turf, they usually skinned them alive in front of their wife and children while he screamed. They took his skin off. They peeled it off while he was living and then threw him out in the snow. That's before they raped his daughter. That's the peace and love, you know. But the liberals came up with this noble savage. All of them were living in peace and harmony. It was like, you know, Mazzola. Everything is like Mazzola. All they did was harvest corn and hunt buffalo till the evil white man came along. They were ruthless and brutal to each other. Thank God they have casinos now, you know. It's no troubles. You don't see any gang wars in the Indian communities. They never had it so good. Why should they kill each other? There's plenty of money to go around now. Maybe if we opened casinos in inner cities, that would be the solution. Gave all of the gangs casinos, would that work? The only thing is they should tax the casinos. I'm nothing against casinos. If you're stupid enough to gamble with money, I don't care, it's your business, free country. But why don't they tax them? Can anyone explain to me why there's no government taxes? And why isn't Iraq paying back for the liberation of Iraq, those fat slobs over there? All they do is kill lamb. You ever see the beans on these guys, how fat they are? They're real deprivation over there. Every guy is like a 250-pounder.
Savage.
You know, whatever the party, the government's answer to every problem is to throw money at it. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. I mean, the financial crisis we're going through right now doesn't seem to be the $700 billion bailout they pushed through. It's much more. So what does our government want to do now? They're prepared to provide more than $7.7 trillion of your tax money to rescue their friends in the financial system. That's half the value of everything produced in the nation last year. Right now, I'm going to speak with Chief Economist for Cumberland Advisors, Inc. He's former economist for the Atlanta Fed for 10 years. Dr. Robert Eisenbeiss, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
What do you think is going on here?
The Federal Reserve and the Treasury and central banks around the rest of the world have been taking unusual actions in an attempt to improve the liquidity in financial markets, to deal with the widening of credit spreads that has occurred in many of the different securities markets, particularly the commercial paper market, but also LIBOR and indirectly as well as in the municipal securities market as well. And these are attempts on the part of the central banks to avoid a significant collapse in the real side of the economy from feedback and negative feedback effects stemming from troubles in the financial system. And that's it in a nutshell.
This is not a normal reaction, is it?
This is not normal at all. And it's essentially right out of the playbooks written by the English economist Walter Bagehot way back in the 1800s as to how a central bank should respond in difficult situations, and that is to lend freely at penalty rates and to make funds freely available. And some of these rates are not at significant penalties, which we're seeing, but represent attempts to get funds into financial markets. The situation with regards to the term auction facilities and the TARP, and particularly the TARP, which is essentially morphed from a facility to buy bad assets, essentially, from the balance sheets of banking organizations to a capital injection program, I think it was an attempt to deal with one of the problems in financial institutions, and that was the fact that they were loaded up with bad assets and didn't have enough capital to be able to write those bad assets off against that capital. And this was an attempt to essentially provide them some additional capital and flexibility to restructure their balance sheets. Unfortunately, a lot of that restructuring hasn't taken place. And I think there was probably a policy mistake there in structuring the programs in the sense that I believe institutions receiving those funds should have been required to write off against common equity the losses that they had on their balance sheet before government-injected capital was put in place. In that way, we would have had a great deal more certainty about what the quality of the assets were on the institution and the balance sheet, and they would have been well on the way to restructuring their asset and liability structures. I think the example that we saw with Citicorp in the last day or so, people seem to forget the government already put $20 billion into them before they injected this most recent $25 billion. Then we had to put an extra guarantee to cushion them against the possibility of an additional $306 billion worth of losses. Now, those losses didn't suddenly appear on their balance sheet. They had been there for a while. And that's symptomatic of the fact that there has been significant lack of transparency on the part of these institutions in revealing the true quality of the assets that they had. And hence, it's no wonder that many of these markets have dried up and aren't available to them for short-term financing anymore.
Well, do you think this is something our government should be doing or not?
Well, there's been a number of things happen. Some institutions have been allowed to fail. Some have been merged out of existence, and some have been propped up. This is the classic manifestation that some institutions are regarded as being too big to fail. That has long-run consequences when it comes to how markets will function in the future. So there are really two problems. The first problem is, how do you clean up the mess that we're now in? That's triage, really. And some of the actions that have been taken essentially should be interpreted as triage attempts. But then there is the second round set of concerns as to what the long-run implications of this will be. And we are now in a situation where the government is a huge investor in financial institutions and has a huge portfolio of mortgage loans because of the fact that it's essentially guaranteeing the portfolios for Freddie and Fannie at this juncture. And all of this is done without an exit strategy. And therein is my concern, the fact that we have a lot of these plans put in place as a short-term backstop. But there should have been forward-looking thinking about how we get out of this and how we get back to true free-functioning markets. And that's my concern.
Well, I certainly think it's going to get worse before it gets better. What about you?
Well, I think there's a chance that the housing market, which is one of the main problem areas, will probably get a little bit worse. Hopefully, we're pretty much close to the bottom as far as housing is concerned, although the data that came out today showed still some significant price drops in housing in some of the key major metropolitan areas around the country. Until the housing situation stabilizes and we have dealt with the excess supply of housing on the market, that's going to be a drag on the real economy, and that's going to mean we're going to be experiencing slow economic growth. The second concern is with the most recent numbers that came out for GDP for the third quarter. There was for the first will be, again, another key determinant as to how much growth we're going to experience and what's going to happen to the employment situation. So those are key problem areas, and those are where the fiscal stimulus will come in, and it will be critical to get the right kinds of programs put in place.
Well, the bailout money and all the money being thrown around doesn't seem to be doing anything permanent for this crisis. Is there something going on that we just don't see? Is this just corruption?
Well, I think that's a very fair question. There is the feeling that there has been some freeing up of fund flows in some of these key markets, not as much as we'd like to see, particularly in the commercial paper market and the like. Spreads are still wide, although interest rates have come down. I think what we need to keep in mind is there are some key distinctions between what's been happening in financial institutions and what's happened in, say, like the automobile industry, who are also looking for support. Problems in the auto industry are structural and have been there for a long time. And that industry has been burdened by legacy production facilities, by labor contracts, which make it very difficult for the three U.S. automakers to compete with the transplant suppliers of autos from abroad. And that's a structural issue, and they need to come to grips with the underlying structural problems that they're facing, and just giving them money won't do that. So I think the public has essentially started to send a message to Congress that if we're going to be bailing out people and giving them money, we want to be sure, A, we're protected, and B, the money is going to be used in a way that will achieve the ends that it was intended to achieve. And I think it's an open question right now whether or not those goals have been met. And I think we've seen some expressions from the president-elect of concern about the auto industry, and let's come up with a plan before you get money. A plan, not how to spend it, but plans to restructure, to revitalize your firm. And I think it's an open question whether that will work at this juncture or not.
Mr. Eisenbeiss, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. You know, we all know Hollywood once made patriotic movies, but for the last generation, liberalism has been job one for the movie industry. Nobody knows this better than Robert Davi. He's been a conservative in Hollywood for 20 years. He's played numerous roles and has now written and directed a movie called The Dukes. Robert Davi, welcome to the Savage Nation. Hey, what's the life of a Hollywood conservative like? Where do you hide?
Well, first I'd like to say it's a pleasure being on the show, Mr. Savage. The life of a Hollywood conservative, I guess, is best summed up in it could be difficult with the minority out there. And there's a silent group of us that come out, but basically there's a lot of liberals, and you can be marginalized at certain times. Try to do right now in terms of how it's approaching this current perestroika aspect of us. I find that I like to communicate to people, and a lot of the times my liberal friends don't want to discuss the issues, and that's a frustrating aspect of the whole thing. Also, even in terms of, I just directed my new film, The Dukes, there are some reviewers who are terrific, absolutely open, and give a tremendous response, and some, they marginalize you, and they say, McCain shill, or they'll put up a supporter of the Iraqi war, and they'll put your politics inside the something that shouldn't have it in terms of when you're dealing with an art form.
What effect do you think an Obama presidency will have on Hollywood? Will it go further left?
You know, Michael, the I remember listening to the first speech he gave, I guess, at the DNC 4 years ago, with the no red states, no blue states, the United States, and then subsequently this last, on the night of the election, the victory speech, there seemed to be this feeling of perestroika and community coming together, which I think is absolutely necessary for the country. Both sides are accountable. Both sides have amazing things to kind of account to the American people for. And I think the Hollywood contingency right now, there is a love affair with the cult of personality of Barack Obama. There's no mistake in the tremendous moment that this country has risen to or gone through right now in terms of electing our first black president. That's an emotional moment. You can feel that in the pride for America. But still, it seems to be an embracing of the left-wing aspect of the Democratic Party. Now, it remains to be seen if he's going to open from the middle, and I don't know if a lot of the people in our community want him to do that, the MoveOn.org contingency. I think we have to have an open discourse and enough of the fear of being able to speak out and say what you feel, and also the accountability. I think we have to have the absolute accountability to the politician, no matter what the party.
Is it true you were once racially profiled as an Italian-American?
Yes. You know, first off, Michael, I've been racially profiled my whole life. I look like a tough guy. And people used to just say, because you're Italian, they would say to me, hey, smilingly, but you're a mafioso. How you're part of the mafia? You got some relatives in the mafia? And, you know, look, I went to Catholic high schools, and my family didn't have that past. And it never bothered me. I just said, no, that's not true or anything. So in the mid-90s, Kathy Moriarty and I were trying to get a project going on, a lovely, lovely piece, like a modern-day Marty, that Patty Chayefsky thing, but it was a modern-day piece. And a gentleman had kept at a place in Beverly Hills called Cafe Roma, kept wanting to talk to me and meet me. There was something about the guy's vibe that I didn't like. So finally, after a year of him approaching me, he said, hey, you know, a friend of mine is coming out from Boston, and he's going to start a new film company, and he just worked with a couple of guys, Griffin Dunn and Danny Aiello over there in Massachusetts. I says, oh, really? He says, yeah. Well, I'll meet the guy. So I met the guy at Cafe Roma. I then introduced him later on. The producer and director talked to him. A year and a half later, I get a call at home. My wife calls me and said, two men came to the door. They want to talk to you. About what? They wouldn't say. You've got to call this number. So I called the DA's office, I guess. I called them, and I said, what can I do for you? They says, well, we'd like to talk to you. I says, about what? And they didn't tell me what. And I said, well, come to the set. Here I am. They came to the set and extended a hand and gave me a notice to appear before the grand jury. I kind of thought it was odd, and I said, what's it about? He says, well, they couldn't tell me. They says, you just have to show up. They got a car for me to take me to the DA's office. They were very nice, where they were having the grand jury, not the DA's office. Gentleman came out and said, thank you very much for coming. We just want to ask a few questions. It turned out that this gentleman was supposedly the son of the alleged godfather of Boston.
Hmm.
I told him the story, an actor looking for financing for his film. You know, you talk to many people. You hear financing for a film, and it was a legitimate company, and that was the extent of it. And I put them in touch with the producer and director. Cut to 2 years later, I'm in Malta filming the Christopher Columbus Discovery film with Marlon Brando, and my publicist calls me up and says, the L.A. Times wants to talk to you about this venture. And I says, what was that? I'd forgotten the whole incident. Long story short, the L.A. Times wanted to talk to me. I says, when I get back from Malta, I'll talk to them. And they said, well, it'd be very interesting for you to talk to us. It happened that there was a guy that was wired, I guess, and this person that I had met was saying things in the parking lot of Cafe Roma that he was going to break my legs and do all of this and stuff. So the L.A. Times, there's a story, says, and absolutely it was an innocent story, said he was just looking for financing for the film, but the mob goes to Hollywood was the L.A. Times article, and I was on the cover of this L.A. Times magazine, and on the inside, it absolutely said, well, you know, he was just an innocent guy meeting a guy at Cafe Roma for a thing. But the Italian-American connection was terrible that they would profile me. So it doesn't bother me that. I think if people are innocent, let them be questions, bring up issues, and let it go.
Why did you make your movie The Dukes?
In the mid-70s, I read an article while I was studying with Adler about steelworkers being laid off, 25,000 people laid off. I then... my father got laid off a year later. And as a young guy, this affected me, that You mean there's no security? And I was reading a book by Alvin Toffler called The Third Wave, where he talks about an industrial age and a technological one, and how the transitional period, the economy is going to go through a very difficult time, and jobs will be lost globally, and it'll be devastating at a certain point. I wanted to tell this story with a light, unpretentious touch. And the first film I had done was with Frank Sinatra, called Contract on Cherry Street. And I met a gentleman, from Jay Black, from Jay and the Americans, who was the second Jay of Jay and the Americans. And they had tremendous doo-wop stuff, Cara Mia and This Magic Moment, and stuff I used to sing as a kid. So he plays my brother in the Sinatra film. And I was hearing stories from him that echoed what was happening in the steel workers and around the country at that time. We were in a recession, about how in the 1960s they were filling up Madison Square Garden. Of course, the British invasion came along, and these guys were having hard times getting little gigs at Jolly Rogers or other places. I wanted to tell the story about how we would have to reinvent ourselves in terms of a transitional period from this economic, from an industrial age to a technological one, and I wanted to tell it with the style of a commedia all'italiana, which is a outpouring of the neorealists, that they then took an uplifting aspect to the social situation to give an answer to the to leave you with hope and a very spirited feeling at the end of a film. And wrote the first draft, kept it in the drawer, and the last 2 months we've seen what happens to the economy, so it's a story that really resonates to what the everyman is going through right now and some of the moral choices they might meet when they have to pay their bills, pay a dentist bill or get a medical bill. What happens when the bottom falls out and these characters pull a heist of dental gold, which is very funny, but it's not the answer to their lives. Getting back to their true self is the real answer to the film, and the last quarter of the film gives us a solution in terms of us pulling together as a people and bringing light to the world. So it has a very uplifting message. You can go to the website, www.thedukes-movie.com, and see the trailer, and there's a lot of extensive stuff you can read about it.
Robert Davi, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
I just want to tell you, Michael, it's been a pleasure being on your show. I listen to it, and go out and keep bringing the message to the country.
Savage.
So it's supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but we found out that it's a government of the sheeple, by the people, and for the sheeple. For example, the CEO of Lehman Brothers, Richard Fuld, who made about $300 million over a number of years, is walking away with tens of millions of dollars after bankrupting Lehman Brothers, but employees are left with nothing but promises. In fact, a reporter out of New York went to his estate in Connecticut trying to get answers, and he was threatened with arrest. Now, you understand that these rogue capitalists are no different than the communist era in the Soviet Union. They're the Soviets of our time. Now, a just and legitimate government wouldn't permit this. A just and legitimate government would have taken Richard Fuld out and would have indicted him for fraud, would have tried him. But that would be a government that has a real SEC. We don't have a real SEC. We have a stooge named Christopher Cox, put in there by George Bush. And as a result, men like Richard Fuld can walk away with tens of millions of dollars, keep their mansions in Connecticut, keep their apartments on Park Avenue, keep their yachts, keep their jets, and you foot the bill. That's because we're a nation of the schmuck, by the schmuck, and for the schmuck. We do not have a legitimate government. We have government anarchy. Paulson is pulling off, and Paulson, by the way, isn't doing this on his own. Paulson is just a stooge of the Bush administration, or shall I say Bush is a stooge of the Paulson administration. In either case, the bottom line is the employees lost their 401ks, they have no money, and the government is doing nothing about it. Sure, they made a lot of sound and fury. If you remember, Waxman put on a fake Soviet-era style show hearing. Nothing came of it. the employees still have nothing, and the Richard Folds of the world are walking away with the world in their hands. Is that a government of the people, for the people, and by the people? Who can save us now that we need them? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. There's no one to turn to. Now, I have good news for you, though, at the end of this hour, and that is that, thank God, it looks to me like Obama will be more conservative than George Bush. We finally are getting the conservative administration in part that we've always wanted. And I say that not as a sarcastic statement, but I'm pleased to announce that this just came over the wires, that James L. Jones will be our national security advisor. Thank God it's not Sandy Berger. Thank God it's not a Condoleezza Rice, another school mom. You may not know who General James Logan Jones, Jr., Marine Corps, is, but I do. Well, I know him from the Internet. You'll be pleased to know that Jones actually has combat experience, unlike anybody else in the Obama administration. Jones will be our national security advisor. Jones is a former combat Marine. Jones's father was a combat Marine. We have a real warrior, finally, as national security advisor with real credentials. And as a result, I say, it appears to me that Obama's finally appointing a conservative administration when it comes to the military, unlike George Bush, who appointed basically guys he could push around. Who is James Jones? Actually, I'll sleep better at night knowing he's national security advisor. He's a 6'4" man who played forward on the Georgetown men's basketball team. He then went to the U.S. Marine Corps. Upon completion of basic school at Marine Corps Quantico, he went to Vietnam, where he served as a platoon and company commander with Golf Company, 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marines, and he was promoted to 1st Lieutenant in June of 68. You should know that in Vietnam, unlike that blowhard from Pennsylvania, Murtha, he was an actual combat Marine, and he was awarded the Bronze Star and the Silver Star. And he's done many other incredibly important things since then. He didn't just go from there to here. He is the former Supreme Allied Commander for Europe. He's the former commander of the United States European Command. He served as the 32nd Commandant of the Marine Corps from 99 to 03. And he retired from the U.S. Marine Corps in February of 07 after 40 years of service in the Marine Corps. So as I say, thank God the right thing has been done and James L. Jones will be National Security Advisor. That's exactly the right appointment for America at this time. I'm shocked that it wasn't some flack from Yale or another sellout from Wall Street to use the position simply to see what information they could get for insider trading. So that's good news, frankly. I have time right now for a few calls and a few free books, a few copies of Psychological Nudity to send out to my loyal listeners. We are approaching Thanksgiving on the Savage Nation. And I have quite a few copies that I can give away tonight. Let's take some callers. New York City, WOR, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello, Seth. I would like to, I was calling to saying how much I agree with that story about you in the mall with all the rap music playing, and it's just terrible here.
How can you shop listening to rap music? I that's why I complained last night. I said play music for adults, not for kids from inner city junior high schools who don't shop here. Who's picking these songs?
Probably appealing to younger kids or something, trying to get.
But they don't shop. They have no money. I have money. I have money. I'm the one who bought the Burberry scarf. Not them. They're not the ones who go there. They should play music for my age bracket. Jonathan, if you could name one story in Psychological Nudity that you can't wait to read or read to your children or your family, I'll give you a free book. Go. Give me one story.
From Immigrant Son to the Radio.
All right. You got it. Free copy on the way out. From Immigrant Son to Radio Star. Actually, one of the favorite ones I have is A Nutty Friend Had Crazy Mother, but I'm too tired to read it to you right now, about the mother who was on Benzedrine and a wacko who went to a doctor in New Jersey who shot her up with Benzedrine so she could lose weight. That was a terrible story. Oh, God. I mean, it was a terrible reality. He's not a friend of mine anymore. I mean, she drove him crazy. I don't hold anything against him. She was a crazy mother. Can you imagine having a friend who had a mother who went to a crazy doctor in New Jersey who put her on speed? We're talking in the 50s, and she'd come back crazy. She drove a new pink Cadillac. They had a little bit more money than everybody else. The father was hardworking. She was a nothing, always on Benzedrine and a maniac. She was so crazy that one day she took a dog chain and beat herself across the wrist until they were bleeding. Then, when her husband came home at night after working all day on some delivery route that he owned, he had a franchise or whatever, she came screaming at him, "Joe, Joe, look what your son did to me. Look what he did to me," showing the bloody wrists. So the father runs upstairs and has a fist fight with his son because the crazy mother said that the son did this to her wrists when she did it to herself. That's a story in the book, Psychological Nudity, that you must read to your children. No, you say, well, it's idyllic 50s. It wasn't so idyllic. I mean, the things happened. These are one of the stories. Some came out of it okay and some didn't. He went to work in the garment center, was on pills all his life. I never kept up with him. I don't know where he went. But the favorites in there really are like Dead Man's Pants, Fat Pat. Everyone loved Fat Pat and Tippy the Dog. Let's see. Maybe I should read one that I haven't read yet on the Savage Nation. I'm not in the mood to reading it, nor do I want to replay anything. Should I read about the death of pets? That's sad. Every time I play with my dog, all I do is see like a skeleton. Now, maybe I'm going crazy. It's from watching TV at night. I watch the channels way up on the end, like, because I don't want to watch them. So I watch like Military History, National Geo. Every night, National Geo, another comet's coming to wipe 29 million years ago in the Eocene. An entire region of the Earth was struck by a comet that wiped out all of the sea life and 99% of the land life. It's enough. Why do you get up in the morning? I'm laying there waiting for a comet. What is obsessing these people now? Every night to show this. So they're digging up people who were buried 5,000 years ago in China, buried like 50 feet under the ground to make sure nobody dug her up. I don't want to look at the woman. I feel embarrassed to see her dug up like that. Can't somebody stop these ghouls? I think to myself, and because of it, all I do is see like skeletons now. I mean, I see my dog, and I think he's like a skeleton, or he's going to, what's the point of him living if he's going to die? I'm getting crazy from it all. I think it's too much television. I don't see a little four-year-old happy puppy. All I see is a dog that's going to disappear one day, as are you, as is America. On that cheerful note, I bid you an adieu on the Savage Nation. Just remember, tomorrow is another day, and with God's will and your listenership, I, Michael Savage, definitely, absolutely, and most certainly shall return.
Savage.